Are you a deviant? You know, like those of us who binge-watch serial killer programmes, laugh at the stupid shit people do, and revel in anything adult? Well, you found your people. Join us as we crack open the door to the padded cell and release the insanely stupid, the weirdly wonderful, and those who choose to live outside societal norms. We'll delve into the strange, the macabre, the sexy, and the outrageous. So if you're a deviant, then you have your place with us in the padded cell. Hello, hello. Welcome to episode 35 of the Padded Cell podcast. I'm Vicky.
I'm Nancy.
And hello again. It's great to be here because that means we've done 35 weeks of this, Nance.
It's 35 weeks. It's crazy.
Just need to let that hang in the air a moment because...
We thought it was just going to be me and you having a nice little chat.
I know we keep saying this, but I think the bigger it gets and the more people we have on board... Just like, fucking hell, it's a bit scary, actually, the way it's going now, to be honest.
It's a bit of pressure now.
It is a bit of pressure now. It's not just me and you having a lovely time. We've actually got to come up with the goods. Come up with something interesting to say.
The more we go on, the pressure to find these things that are interesting to talk about.
Well, I've got loads. But I don't research them until I need them because I'll forget the information. Yeah. So I've got the dilemma of what the fuck to choose out of all these things and how it all fits in.
Just put names in a hat.
Well, I go down a rabbit hole. You see, I go onto one subject and then I find something else and then I find something else and I'm like, oh, I'm doing that. So my first one doesn't get done. It's just the way I roll, really. But yeah, 35 episodes, 35 weeks. We're still here doing our thing.
We are.
And it feels good. And it's really, really great to have you all still with us, still hanging on in there. We must be doing something right.
I wonder if there's anyone who's just over our shit and has...
Well, I do
off.
Get some people unfollowing us on social media, but I think that's just accounts that are closing. To be honest, that's what I'm telling myself anyway. The Patreons are still holding on tight. You know, the Patreons have gone over 100.
Woohoo!
I know. In fact, I think it's 113.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a really big
jump. That's
amazing. Yeah, really pleased with that. And for those that don't know, we had a special thing going on for our Patreon. So the first 100 got automatically elevated to the top tier at no extra cost. And as part of that, they got into a WhatsApp group, which we're both in. Actually, Dylan, did you say you wanted to be in our WhatsApp group?
I would love to be in the WhatsApp group.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a community with a few groups in it, depending on your tastes. So you're not going to be exposed to all kinds of really mad shit unless you want to.
I'm ready for anything, Vicky.
You're ready for the mad shit. You're going to bring the mad shit,
oh,
I think.
Hell yeah.
I mean, that's what they were saying yesterday. They're like, can't wait to meet Dylan and find out what he's actually into.
Yeah, exactly.
What is kinks are.
I was well behaved yesterday.
You were?
Yeah.
Jacob, not so much.
Really?
Jacob's a little dark horse.
So what was he up to? Are we allowed to say?
I was like, do you want to get in the wheel? Yeah, I do. Spun him once, then he was like, again, faster.
Like it's a roundabout. Yeah. Again, again. We're not tempted, Dylan, to get in any equipment?
Maybe next time.
Maybe next time.
Yeah. It's nice to observe.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I offered to put him on the little Spitfire downstairs.
Oh. Yeah. Didn't fancy it.
I mean,
it was your first night, wasn't it? So, you know.
Get me warmed up.
He kind of said, yeah, and then I told him what the little hole
in the Spitfire was for. No. Couldn't you work the hole out?
I mean, not initially. I thought it was just for comfort.
Okay, so I'm going to explain this piece of equipment. So it's like a cross lying down. It's got legs, and we call it a Spitfire because it actually looks like a Spitfire when you're lying down on it. And it's got like leather straps and stuff on it, and it's got a place for your head to go and a hole. About that
big. It's like
big.
A pear-shaped hole.
It's like
isn't
a pear,
it?
I mean, it's a very wishful thinking hole to have a hole that big. You're supposed to put a poor unfortunate face down and the tackle is supposed to dangle out of the hole. And it's made especially as a cock and ball torture bench. Mm-hmm. And it's a perfect kicking height for me. Custom made.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Can't wait to try it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. You heard it here.
Next time.
Heard it here. But we just need to clarify, it was our pub night last night, wasn't it? You just came for a little social to see what we're all about.
Indeed. I had the scope out the venue and I was very impressed.
Well, we talk about it all the time, don't we? So now that you're seeing it firsthand, you know what we're talking about.
Exactly.
And if you come back, you know, you might get the balls to put your balls in the Spitfire hole. Or maybe in the glory hole. Cock and balls through the glory.
They did investigate the glory hole.
Their eyes lit up when I showed them the glory hole.
Oh, their eyes lit up. Yeah. Their zip didn't come down then.
Not quite. I mean, these girls have like sized it up.
So you walked up to it to see if you're the right height for
and
the
And we
holes.
Kind of felt the holes to be like, right, okay, cool. This is fine. It's not scary.
Okay, so Dylan was just doing, you felt the holes of the full hands. Are you trying to tell me that that's the sort of that hand-sized space is needed, Dylan,
like,
for your cock and balls?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Dylan's just bent over with his arsehole towards the hole. Is there enough room to be bent over in this glory hole?
I can confirm.
I knew it. Good, good. Well, you've seen our den of iniquity now, and you're not new anymore, so feel free to come along whenever you want.
Well, thank you very much.
You're more than welcome. You weren't barred in your first night, so it's all good.
That's a win.
It's a win, definitely a win.
It is a win for some people.
Do you know what? Have you noticed how warm it is today?
It's really warm. It's nice.
My car said it was 19 degrees. Mm. I swear to God, Nancy, I think it was 35 degrees.
Because everyone's got the legs out. And
I've never seen so much tits and ass in my life, and that's just the guys. It's just main road that goes right into town from ours. And honestly, it was like almost bikinis. I mean, I wasn't being an old lady going, tut, 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 put a vest on. I was just like, God, aren't you brave? You can't get out of the cold. I was just like, aren't you brave? Because 19 degrees to me is not balmy weather that I need to take my clothes off for. But for a lot of people out there, there's a lot of hot pants and little bra tops. And yeah, there's a guy walking along, and you know what? Curvy guy, top off, like rocking it, totally owning it. I'm like, mate, good on you. But it is only very still early in the day.
I mean, I'm still cold, so I'm always cold.
I'd be like the coat on.
Well, obviously, we've just got my first little car.
Yes.
So I'd got in it before and he was like, put the roof down. Yeah. Like, no, fucking cut my hair. It's like,
like Bridget Jones.
I'm like, no, I'm cold.
Can we just say, though, that it was like while the cat's away, the mice will play.
Honest to God, I was livid.
While Nancy was away on a hen weekend, a picture came through from Sid, and he's like, got a new car. Didn't say that it was your new car.
Yeah.
And can we say what it is?
Yeah, it's a little Mini.
It's a red Mini, and it's a beautiful little red Mini. But me and everybody else got the impression that it was his car.
I know, because he fucking lived his best life for the whole
three
nights.
He was razzing round all weekend in that thing.
I drove out of Liverpool. We were about an hour away. And then he said, I'm going to see the car in a minute. I was like, my car? He's like, yeah. And then 2 minutes later, right, can you transfer this woman the money?
Mm.
So paid her. And then that's it. There's pictures of the kids in the car, him in the car.
Yeah. So you didn't get first dibs.
It's like, have you driven your own car home? No.
Did you actually see the car yourself at all?
No.
It was just like the adverse.
So I didn't see it till Monday.
Oh. Well, he's been having a lovely time.
We got home and I was like, right, can we go for a little drive in the car? And he was like, no.
Oh.
He was like, I've got work to do. I was like, fuck.
So when did you actually get to go in your car for the first time? On the Monday.
I got my own way.
You were hungover and angry.
I was like, this is not ideal.
Do you know what? Minis aren't great actually for when you are hungover, you've got a headache or whatever. Yeah. You feel every little bump. Yeah. They're very go-karty.
Mm.
So you do feel every bump. But for me, that's part of the fun, that you can feel the road.
Do love it.
Yeah, I do love Minis.
Yeah.
As you know, Jimmy's got a bright yellow Mini, and literally, he's just a flash. A yellow flash.
I know, they were having a right good chat about car chat yesterday. And he was like, Sid, your car. And I was like,
yeah.
I think he's going to look at another one on Saturday.
Another Mini? Oh, really?
So we're going to have his and hers Minis.
Oh, you have little races. So, yeah, it's a lovely car. But I think you're going to be sharing that car, to be honest. I'm really sorry to say. Make sure you get your name on the logbook.
It already is.
Oh, is it? Okay. I actually stole Jimmy's motorbike years ago. I used to work away a lot, and I sold my bike. I think I was still in uni, and I didn't have an awful lot of money. So I went to get on his bike, but there was no tax insurance or MOT. And to go and get it MOT'd, it had to be in my name. Mm-hmm. I was presenting it and the tax and everything. So I just swapped everything over. I did try and phone him, but he's in Rotterdam on some ship somewhere. So I was like, oh, well, I'm in the post office. I'm just going to do it. So I changed all the documentation to my name, the MOT, the insurance, the tax, everything. So when he came back and I was riding around on the bike, I had to break it to him that I'd changed everything into my name.
It's now mine.
And so to this day, and it's probably a good 15 years, he still says that I stole his motorbike. Like, petty.
Get over it, Jim.
Get over it. It's been a very long time. Do you know what I'm talking about? Get over it. The reel that went out recently, Peter the Plumber. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've seen this reel, how popular it's getting, Dylan.
Oh, really?
Yeah. On Facebook, it's got over 1 million views. 255, I think, shares now. And something like 15,000 likes and loves. So Peter the Plumber, he got it straight away as soon as it came through. I was like, Pete, this is for you. And he was like, oh God, I'm never going to be able to live this down. But now I keep sending them little screenshots of the progression of the clip and how well it's doing. So now he's quite liking the fact that his story and his knob is doing very well. And I think either me or Jim suggested that he should come on the show. And
It's me.
Yeah, I am the dick. I am that dick, yeah. Anyway, right, this is going out on the 16th of May. How long have we been recording, Dylan?
For about, hold on a second.
Too long.
About 10 minutes.
Okay.
It's not that bad.
It was interesting content.
It's not that bad.
Anyway, we're having a lovely time. So, 16th of May, this is going out. And have you heard of H.H. Holmes?
H.H. Holmes, no.
You might have heard the name, but maybe not too sure. No? Dylan?
It rings a bell, but I'm not sure.
Rings a bell. It rings a bell a lot of people, and they don't really know why. This guy was born on the 16th of May in 1861, and he was better known as Herman Webster Mudgett. Does that help?
Not even a little
bit. It shouldn't really, because he's not really very well known as that. But he was, and probably still is, the most prolific serial killer. He was the first and most prolific serial killer in America.
I love a serial killer, don't
you? And have you heard of the Murder Castle?
No.
Have you heard of the Murder Castle?
No.
Okay, I'm going to educate you. This isn't my segment, but you know what? I know a little bit, so I'm going to tell you. Okay, so he actually aspired to be a doctor and didn't do very well in university, just about scraped through, and decided to go and be a chemist instead. Changed his name from Herman Webster Mudgett to H.H. Holmes, and apparently it was in homage to Sherlock Holmes. He was like a hero. And as a chemist, he then started his murderous ways, and he was a real fraudster and swindler, and he would meet women, lure them in, promise them, you know, engagement, love, a life, and coerce them into signing over their wealth, insurance policies, all this kind of thing, and then would kill them off. And he did this a lot. And I mean, I know it's like 1800s and everything, but he murdered a lot of people. I'm like, what was everybody doing? Did they not miss all these women that were going missing? Anyway, he did it for years. And he met up with this other fraudster. I'm going to call him Ben. His name is Ben, but I can't remember his surname. Weird surname. And between the two of them, they set up this like insurance fraud scheme, and Ben was going to fake his own death and they were going to run away with the money. But actually, H.H. Holmes killed him off anyway and claimed the money. But his wife got a little bit suspicious and she's like, yeah, I'm not happy with this. So he said, look, he had this insurance policy. He's just disappeared. Here's some money. He sent you some money. Mm-hmm. Gave her $500, which is a lot then, but he got 10 grand. And gave her $500. Then he was like, yeah, I don't trust the kids either because they're starting to give it large. So he killed three of them as well. And eventually the insurance fraud guys caught up with him, and he was charged and sentenced to death for the murder of Ben. But while he was in prison, he admitted, I think, to 27 murders. And then a further 60-odd, but experts reckon it was nearer 200. And wow. This was people that he, like, fiancés, if you like, employees before they signed, you know, agreed to sign the contract with them. They had to agree to sign over all of their money and everything to him. I don't know what excuse he gave for that, like, but... And then just randomers who he swindled, and rather than just, like, you know, pick their pocket and let them live their lives, now he was going for the big bounties and then killing them. And he built this murder castle. It was rigged with like trapdoors, secret passageways, a gas chamber, a kiln
to actually cremate the bodies. And I mean, there's a little bit of speculation now over the legitimacy of the murder castle and if he actually built it and came up with all the ideas. But regardless of that, you just burp.
No, it was me. Cheek squeaked.
Your cheek squeaked.
Yeah.
How did you do that?
Oh.
Okay. So,
moving on.
So, yeah, there's a little bit of the murder castle definitely did exist, but I think there's a little bit of speculation over how much he actually built. But he did have all these little secret passageways and everything all over the place. Did you see the American Horror Story Hotel?
Yes.
With Lady Gaga. Okay, it was inspired by the murder castle and H.H. Holmes. And if you remember, there was some spirit serial killers actually in residence in that hotel. So it was inspired by that. It was also loosely inspired by the Cecil Hotel, which was its very famous hotel in downtown LA.
It was on Netflix Skid Row. Last year, wasn't it?
Yeah. The girl who was found in the water tank.
Yeah.
But loads of people have committed suicide there.
Water.
Yeah, yeah, it was disgusting. That. But lots of people have committed suicide. There's been a lot of tragedies in the Cecil Hotel. So the hotel from American Horror Story apparently was inspired partly by the murder castle and partly by the Cecil Hotel. So there you go, a little whistle stop of H.H. Holmes. There's also a programme out there. Somebody reckoned that the conspiracy that he might have also been Jack the Ripper. It was around a similar time. He was murdering women, sometimes very brutally similar, in a similar way. And there's some documentation that he was out of the country quite regular. I think he had some business in the UK. So it's never been proven. There's an awful lot of speculation over who the Jack the Ripper is. But H.H. Holmes has got a very similar MO.
Mm-hmm.
And as brutal as, you know, and when you see his picture, it does look like some of the pictures you see of Jack the Ripper, you know, sketches, very, very similar. But then a lot of guys out at that time, bowler hats, big, massive moustache. Oh, there you go. H.H. Holmes, there you go. So he looks a lot like a lot of guys then, but if you look at some of the Jack the Ripper photos that are out there, he does look quite similar. And they
looks
think
like a bastard, doesn't he?
He does. And some theories around Jack the Ripper is that he was a doctor or a surgeon or whatever, and he did train in medicine.
Yeah.
So there's quite a lot of links there, really. So there you go. He was born on the 16th of May in 1861. So a little bit of history for you there. So that wasn't my segment, but seeing you didn't know, there you go. I knew a little bit about H.H. Holmes, and now you do too.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Oh, do you know, I don't think I want to do a segment ever on him because there's an awful lot of information out there and there's not an awful lot that you can't find quite easily about him. I like trying to find things that people don't know quite so well, but he's very well documented. Right, so I'm going to say a little hello to some of our new patrons. We've got Abigail Tubbs, Emma, James P, KSN, Mandy, Sam W, Nicole, Boxy Foxy Loxy, Isabella, Kelly T, Sarah B, Rob Z, and Fiona. That's what it is.
Rob B.
Yeah. That's his Z, it's just Zeds. So there you go. And a special hello to our OG 100, who are the original 100 who are in the top tier. And we're all, it's lovely getting to know them all, isn't
I've
it?
I've just sent them a little snap saying, look what a time
snap.
Is.
Yeah. A snap makes you sound really old. I say things like that.
I am getting on.
Am I rubbing off on you?
Maybe.
And if you haven't joined us over on Patreon yet,
why the fuck not?
It's literally the price of a pint.
It's less than this coffee.
Well, it's £3.50, which actually, if you're into Liverpool now, pints around £4.
£6.60.
Mate, I just wouldn't pay amount of money for a nice coffee. What should you say what it tasted like?
Tiramisu.
Yeah, I don't like tiramisu anyway.
I was torn between that and a coconut strawberry latte.
Fucking hell. Just give us a black tea.
I thought the strawberry was a bit too much. So.
Yeah, I don't do things like that. Really, to be honest with you.
My favourite is an iced chai tea latte.
Yeah, I like my tea hot. Anyway, right, so for the price of a pint, you can join us on Patreon. And now you've got 5 bonus episodes. You've got 3 interviews, some behind the scenes photos, and there's more to come. And the recent video was with Fiona, who's a hair fetishist. She's got a brand called Beautiful Erotica. She's an artist as well as a hair fetishist. She does workshops and stuff. And the interview that I did is all about her. Hair. I'm going to say that again. It's all about hair. And hair fetish. And hair fetish art. I'm here all day. Right, so if you haven't joined us, there's lots of reasons why you need to go over. So I'm just going to do a little bit of lady seeing.
Let's do it.
Today, and I'm going to get you involved a little bit in the chatting. Might get you involved a little bit as well.
Wonderful.
Just a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay. So I am... I've got a couple of stories later on after the dangly bit, but I'm just going to talk a little bit about being a domme and double domming and how we learn. So obviously I've been around a little while, but I am still learning, you know, a long, long time down the road. I am with a lot of experience. However, every single event that I go to, I see something and I learn. Every single time. I'll watch other people at play. I'll watch the different toys that they use and the way in which they use them. And every time I go, I'm pinching that idea. That's a good one. We don't stop learning, do we?
No.
And when you think you know it all, you need to stop, because it's a bit of a dangerous territory to be in when you think you know it all as a domme. But one of the ways that I learned, and I know that you've done some of this, is double domming. And for those that don't know what that is, it's basically when two dominants come together and work together on one or more submissives. And you tag team almost, really, don't you? The way I do it, we have like a bit of a loose plan. But basically, you just do your thing. And then when your arms get tired, you tag.
Your turn.
Yeah, you tag to the other domme. And then they have a go and then they tag you. And that's it, basically. And it's normally with one sub, but I have done it on two, three, four. We actually did a flogathon once for charity, and there was me and another dominant, male dominant at first, I think about three or four subs along a wall, and we just started flogging, and it was a non-stop flogathon for charity. And then when my arms got tired, I literally, like, I was flogging and I carried on swinging until somebody else came in and they took over. So literally the subs just got continuous impact, and then when they had enough, they got tapped out. We had subs waiting in the wings, so literally I was swinging me floggers, one stepped out, one stepped in. It was really, really, really good. But when you're sessioning with people like that, you really feed off the energy, don't you?
Yeah.
So you're not only learning from that person, but you're feeding off the excitement, the adrenaline and the energy that's in the room and during the scene. And Dylan, you know when you think of a dominatrix?
Yes.
What comes to mind? Just sort of like in your mind, give me the picture that's formed about the person and how, what situation you might see them in.
Okay, authoritative.
Okay, so Dylan's doing this at the moment. He's taking it very, very seriously.
Very serious.
He's picturing the scene in his head.
He is.
Yeah.
It's all that porn he's been watching. He's reflecting.
I'm in townhouse. I'm strapped up against something. I'm in the wheel.
Okay. Are you naked?
Semi.
No, oh, you've got a semi on.
No. I envisioned an authoritative figure.
Yeah.
With a lot of tools.
Yeah.
Beating tools specifically.
Yeah. Not a drill.
A drill?
Not
drill-do.
A drill.
A drill. Ooh.
Didn't show you the drill though.
Yeah, no, we've got a drill down. Let's have the drill down in a minute.
Okay, so tall. So that means boots.
Mm-hmm.
Big boots on. Very fancy attire, leather, and just beating the fuck out of me.
Oof.
Sorry, I got into something there.
I feel like I need a cigarette now. How was
that
it
good for you?
Fucking hell. Okay, so what you've described there is very stereotypical. And you would not be forgiven for thinking that, because I'd say 99% of the population thinks that is exactly how we look and how we behave and how we hold ourselves. However, one of the things you didn't say, but it was sort of apparent from what you were saying, is that you would be on the across or the wheel or whatever, and there'd be a dominatrix. There'd just be two of you. And actually, we do work alone when we're working professionally. We're often alone. But in social situations, very often we're not. And dommes are a very social species, aren't we? And we do like to run in packs. So we like to go to events. And even though we might be working one-on-one with a person, we might be in a room with lots of other people doing things. So I might be in one part of the room, and then the other end of the room, there could be two other scenes going on, and then behind me, something else. Yeah. And what you do is, you, even though you're fully concentrating on the person that you're working on, you can hear the noise that, ooh, ah, yes, mistress, ooh. And you, good boy, or whatever. All that. All the primal noises from both parties, I suppose, you know? And you, that energy that's created in the room, it's very addictive, and it spurs you on, and it feeds your own scene, you and the submissive or bottom that you're working on. So I just wanted to get across that this stereotype of, you know, one-on-one, powerful, assertive, dominant woman in the leather and the boots and everything. It does happen. Of course it does. But most of the time, we're not like that. And actually, when we don't work alone, and we are authoritative and assertive, but we're also very kind, and we can be very thoughtful and compassionate, especially to our peers. Mm-hmm. And over the years, when I've been professional and, you know, socially playing, but especially professionally, we looked out for each other. Because it can be quite lonely sometimes when you're professional and you don't get time to go to events all the time. And so we had like this as a circle of trust, and we would contact each other. If there was any like troublemakers, we would share information so we wouldn't book the same person. So we had like a safety net there. We'd bounce ideas, and, you know, sometimes they'd come and hire our venue to session out of, and we'd sit and have a coffee afterwards and like that, oh my God, where'd you get your boots from? You know, exchanging paddle.
Yeah.
Recommendations and stuff like that. And it's a lovely group to be part of, actually. And I think you'd not be, you'd be forgiven for thinking that we're all bitches and very egotistical, narcissistic, because that is how we put ourselves across. That's how almost we want to see submissives to see us, as these powerful, assertive, kick-ass women. But actually, in reality, a lot of us can be a little bit broken.
Yeah.
And sensitive, actually. And we question ourselves. Mm-hmm. We question why we like what we do. We question why we're doing it. We question why we enjoy the response, the negative screaming responses we get. We question our sanity sometimes. Yep. And so to have other domes around us who can completely empathise with that, and they say, yeah, I feel like that as well, but we can't all be wrong. So, or can't all be right, whatever way around it is. You sort of stick together and you look out for each other and you pat each other's back. We are our biggest cheerleaders. Mm-hmm. You know, when somebody is like fucking smashing a scene and you're watching it, you're like, God, that is either hot or it's intense or it's technical. You know, when that scene's over and the chilling out and it's okay to approach, you know, I am the first person to say, that scene was amazing. And we thank each other for the privilege of witnessing that scene, don't we? And it might sound really strange to people out there, but it is actually quite a special shared experience, and it doesn't happen in the big wide world. And so when you're part of that, you do feel part of a shared experience and the shared energy, and you do learn and you take it all in. You're like a sponge. And just going back to double domming, you and I have double dommed, haven't we? We've double dommed Appy Harry. He was brilliant at
he's
playing
my favourite person to watch.
Yeah, we've mentioned before, he's very primal, the noises that he makes and stuff. But he can take pretty much anything.
Yeah.
And he said to me on many occasions, I enjoy being a submissive, but I really enjoy it when you beat me because I know that you're thoroughly enjoying yourself.
Yeah.
And I know how that sounds, guys and girls out there. I do thoroughly enjoy it, and you've got to enjoy it, otherwise people like Appy Harry know.
Yeah.
And they might ask you to play again, because if you're going through the motions and you're faking it, it gets boring for them, because you're not changing
it up. He came in a couple of weeks ago when I was on the desk, and he asked if we could do it again sometime.
Definitely need to do that again. I've got some more new toys, and I mean, it's probably a good year, isn't it, I think, since we double dommed him last.
Yeah, easily. Maybe just under.
Yeah. And, you know, things have changed since then, you know, so new things to try and all that. But, you know, if there's anybody out there, guys, girls, anybody in between who wants to have a go at domming, we've said previously that going to Munch is a good place to start. tiptoed into the scene. But if you want to try domination and you're not too sure how to start, then go to events where people are open to you working alongside them. Mm-hmm. I've talked before about workshops, but not everybody has workshops. But you will find dominants who will work with you, or, you know, let you have a little go, or let you ask questions. And when they're not seen, and let you pick up this stuff and have a little feel and ask questions about it. It's how you learn. Do not be afraid of approaching people, obviously at the right time, not in the middle of a scene, and asking questions. And when you get to know people, you know, asking, would it be okay to, you know, get involved in a scene with them? Because it's the best way to learn, feeding off that energy, watching their technique, and they'll feed back afterwards.
Yeah.
I've done that in the past. I don't ever like say what they've done wrong, because I don't think anything's completely wrong unless you like take somebody's ear off. But you can look at technique and how they can just adjust technique. And then once you do that, they can actually feel that it works better themselves.
Well, I've seen you countless times with, particularly with another domme.
Yeah.
Even just 5 minutes on flogging, and you can see in that person how much... Mm. They feel better, and like the confidence building in them, yeah. And stuff. Just
it's positive affirmation a lot, yeah, of the time. You know, we were saying before about, you know, Dylan watching BDSM porn and imagining himself with the dominatrix. But unfortunately, in the UK, actually, BDSM porn is now illegal.
Yeah.
And you can only get it from Europe, and you can't ship it in legally. So a lot of it is illegally streamed online. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of people are getting their experiences from BDSM porn online, and it's not the real world. It's like watching regular porn.
Yeah.
And all these young people are thinking that you've got to be like a Duracell bunny and fuck for half an hour at this, like, you know, massive, huge speed for half an hour until somebody pretends to come. It just doesn't work like that. And BDSM is exactly the same. It is not like that in real life. And so they come into the scene thinking they've got to be Christian Grey. Maybe not Christian Grey, he was shit, but you know what I mean.
But it's shocking how many people watch that and think, yeah, oh,
I think,
yeah,
that's real.
Daddy.
And it's only when they come, 19-year-olds call themselves daddy, get the fuck, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I've offended you, but you're just about, like, legal to be an actual daddy. Not calling yourself a BDSM daddy. You haven't even got, like, a full set of pubes yet, so you can't call yourself a daddy at 19. Anyway, I had a message the other day. Did
it landed nice,
yeah. It's because I did get a 19-year-old guy contact me. Didn't even read my profile, which says dominatrix, you know, nearly fucking 50, mate. And a 19-year-old, like practically prepubescent guy is saying, can I be your daddy? And yeah, you're like, oh, didn't even read my fucking profile. I'm old enough to be a grandmother. Anyway, where was I? So, thank you for triggering me there.
Do you need the pickle?
No, not quite. What's I saying? Yeah, so we get our experience, our education from these things online. And it's only when you come into the club and you see how it's really done and you go, okay, the pressure's off.
Yeah.
Because you haven't got to be as all singing, all dancing person that knows everything. And, you know, people like me and you who are willing to teach people, we're not going to teach you in a way it's derogatory or, you know, condescending. We'd just guide you, mm-hmm, basically. So double domming, if you're thinking about getting into domination, definitely the way forward if you can find. Well, there will be people. There will be people at events, definitely. It was funny, me and Artemis were trying to think at a Whimper event. We were trying to think of what a group of mistresses would be.
No shit, that's what I was just thinking. When you were saying about a fucking... a group or a pack.
There you go.
I was like, what's the collective of mistresses called?
So you're getting into my head.
A gaggle. We have got a hive mind sometimes.
We have got a hive mind. Now, I did say a gaggle when we initially, but it needs to rhyme. You know what I'm like. It's got to like sound and look good. So we're like that, racking our brains at Whimper when we should have been, you know, wielding our floggers. And I think we were outside and having some downtime, and I went, a menace of mistry.
I like her.
Because it can't be mistresses, because that just, it's just too many zzzzzzz. And me with my occasional stammer, can imagine me go zzzzzzz. So I thought, there isn't a plural, I suppose, for mistresses, but I've just created one. It's mistry. A menace of mistry. We are a menace of mistry. Do you like that?
I love it.
It looks good on paper because I've typed it. Just to remind myself to say it.
It could be an event.
It could be. It could be. How much time have we got, Dylan? How long have we had?
You've went for... Let me math. You've got 10 minutes left.
Okay. I am going to leave me zangly bit for this till the next one.
Cool.
I'm going to carry on. Okay. So we've talked about Whimper quite a lot, which is our Femdom event. And I've had a lot of people asking me about this. And we actually had some of our Padded Cell Watchers listeners attend our last Whimper. They also attended our School of Kink, our Dom A School of Kink. We had two of them there. And they only found the Dom A School of Kink because of Padded Cell.
I was chatting to one of them on Instagram and she's so lovely.
Yeah.
I think she came to the munch as well.
Yeah, she did.
Yeah, she is lovely.
The lady with the funky short hairdo. Yeah,
she's beautiful.
Yeah. And yes, there's a couple at Whimper. It was really, really good to see them there. But I've had some people ask me about Whimper because they're curious and they think that we're all like uber dominant and, you know.
It's so far from it.
Shouting each other
and we
down
can,
and
we say
that
all the time.
I know. So I want to talk about what a standard Whimper would look like. Now, I need to get across that some femdom events out there are hardcore. And if you're a bottom submissive, you may be humiliated if that's your thing. And they can be shouty and they can be Dylan's dream stereotypical dominatrix. There's one in particular I really want to go. Bitches Unleashed in Manchester. Bitches Unleashed. And it is a bit more shouty, kick-ass dome. So I do fancy going actually to that one. But Whimper is not like that. And I always say to our ladies, leave your ego at the door. I just think egos can be a little bit damaging. You can get above your own station and you forget that there's actually a person at the end of your flogger if your ego gets in the way. So at Whimper, it's very busy for a niche fetish event. So niche fetish events, you'd normally get 30 or 40 people, something like that. And we normally run them on a Sunday. So it's a bit of a funny day. But at the last Whimper, I think we had 78.
Yeah.
And it was a really good mix of female dominance and submissives. Some female dominance brought their own submissive. Some didn't. So a lot of submissives come on their own as well. And we have a mixture of male and female and non-binary. And we normally have clipboards with like a little sort of question sheet on it. And it's for the submissives and bottoms to fill in what their absolute boundaries are, the limitations, what they might like to try and what their interests are. And they keep that with them. So if we want to approach and, you know, ask them if they want to go and do a scene with us, we can go and see what the limitations and boundaries and stuff are. And it's a really good, quick way of me especially establishing, is this something that I want to play with? There's only certain things I really want to do hardcore at Whimper.
Yeah.
Some of the things didn't interest me. So straight away, it saves me a conversation.
Yeah.
Not wasting his time. He's not wasting mine. It's really good. And then about an hour or so in, we have a group play. The first thing we do, though, is we'll grab a bottom or a submissive, our hands or a baton or something, and we play a tune. Of course, a tune. Fucking hell, we do it every time.
We Will Rock You.
No.
We've done that.
No, we've done Seven Nation Army. And this one is... I know. It's Hit Me With Your Best Shot. Yeah. That one, yeah. So I normally have two submissives on the go because I like a little bit of a drum kiss. I've had three before today. And I have a little baton and I have something else. And I'm like that, hit me with your bit on their arses, just giving it loads, banging away, little trills and all out, wherever they're fucking called. And we do that. That's really good. Gets them all warmed up. We have a proper little laugh doing it. And then we'll do a group activity. And we basically just pop the sub through the paces, make a little bit of a show of them, have a really good laugh. There's normally a winner and they might win an entry to a future Whimper. And then people go off, get a drink. Some domes then will approach some submissives and go and choose them for play. We also have stations where submissives can stand and offer themselves for play. Some people are a bit shy of putting themselves out there. So we have like a few little corners where they can go and stand and wait to be selected. And if I'm feeling completely cunty, I will leave some of them there all day, unselected.
Well, there was quite a few left there last time. And I was working, wasn't I? So I obviously couldn't join in the fun. But I got my kicks in a different way. So there were the guys he liked to service.
Okay.
Done all the washing up for me.
Oh, amazing.
I was sending them around to check the toilets and take the tissue and the hand roll.
It's handy when you've got servitude subs around, isn't it? You get them to do all sorts.
I was like, I don't need to move, just do all of this.
Do you know what? Years ago, I thought I was punishing somebody. And this guy was bratting. Fucking can't stand brats, as you know. And he was just in me. And I didn't lose my shit. I was working on an event. And I went, right, said, you're doing my fucking head in now. And there's this big thing of chewy in the foyer that had been trodden in. I went, right, we've got chewing gum remover there. I said, I had like a little scrapey brush. I want you to get that chewing off the floor. And he was like, yep, no problem at all. And I was like, fucking, I thought it was supposed to be punishment. Anyway, apparently, he loves menial tasks like that. He loves being down his hands and knees, scrubbing like toilets and stuff like that. So here's me thinking, I'm punishing the little bastard for being a brat. And I'm giving him what he wants. So then just continued to brass afterwards, didn't he, to see if he was going to get any more.
What's next?
Thank you very much.
Welcome.
So there you go. That's a whimper. And one of the things we've done at Whimper, we've done a sub-circuit training. Mm-hmm. And sub-circuit training, I've done about four times. And we might have around about seven mistresses spread around the building. And each of them has like a station where they'll do something. So it could be flogging, it could be caning, it could be electrics, it could be foot worship, that kind of thing. And they have, I think it's 5 minutes on each station with 1 minute beforehand just to go over safe words and boundaries and 1 minute to just take a breath and run to the next station. And in between times, I am running up and down the corridors with my fuck me horn. You know, one of those type horns. I can't do the horn. I've got one of those and it said fuck me on it. And so there's me trying to be like, a dominatrix, scary dominatrix with me fuck me horn. So when it came to 5 minutes, I'd running up and down the stairs going oink, 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 oink around the whole building. It's like, right, go, change. And all of a sudden, they're just running to the next station so they weren't late, coming to a slide and stop, quick consent, whoosh, straight into it again. Anyway, there's this one time and it was summer. We had seven domes and 21 subs on the sub circus, and I was like, there's just no way we're not going to get chaos through them all. So we had to double them up and do two at a time, and I swear to fucking God, the mistresses were sweating past themselves. They loved it, but it was like, how many times have we got to do the same thing?
It's hard going, isn't it?
It's really, really hard going, but at the end of it all, our adrenaline's just like up there, and the subs I've got lovely red arses and red rosy cheeks from it all. So the sub-circuit training's really, really good, but the oohs and ahs and screams around the building from all the different corners of all these guys and girls experiencing all these mad things and me go oink, 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 around the building. It's just like, when you think like you're being cool, you're not.
It is my favourite when you hear a sound.
Yes.
And you instantly like head turn.
Yeah.
Where's that coming from? Yeah. That sounds interesting.
Yeah, it's really good. It makes you go, doesn't it? Yeah. Have a look. What am I missing? The FOMO and all that. Right, so before we finish, I'm going to do a fetish factoid, which is relevant, if you like. Mm-hmm. And it's something that I have witnessed myself. You'll know what this is. And I think Dylan will know what it is as well, actually. Objectification, Dylan.
Yes.
Go on, give me a definition.
Best definition going off the top of my head. How do I word this? I know it's to be objectified is almost to be treated in such a negative way that you're not caring about a human as a human and more like an object.
Okay. I wish we had a camera on Dylan all the time.
So right, so you think that I am the person here with the jazz hands? No, because Dylan has literally just been doing this behind the scenes.
That's my thinking motion.
Is it? Thank God that's not my thinking motion. No fucking sit next to me ever again. Okay, so yes, you're partly right. I think you're coming from it from a vanilla perspective. A lot of women tend to complain, quite rightly, about being objectified. Mm-hmm. So that definition is correct, but from a BDSM perspective, objectification is degrading somebody almost. It's making them perform menial tasks that you don't want to do. And it's like dehumanising them. like you've said, but we do it in a way of using them in place of inanimate objects. So we can make them perform these tasks to dehumanize them, even ignore them, not treat them like a human and not even call them by their name and stuff. It's very humiliating and not everybody's into that. But the other form of objectification is when we use them as like tables and chairs and little stuff like that. Little footstools. I've done that before at Tootsies.
All the time.
So Tootsies is a foot fetish event. It's the boss. I trample people.
I loved the one I came to.
It's really good. I walk up and down people in bare feet. Little bit of kicking the balls as well. A bit of squishing. And in return for all of my hard work doing that, I normally have somebody give me a little foot massage afterwards. It's great. But yeah, I had one guy, he was a footstool and I had my feet on him while another guy was massaging my feet. Yeah. It was bloody brilliant. Anyway, I've got an example of objectification and it was hilarious, shall we say. So quite a long time ago now, a mistress came into Radical Desire, which is our mainstream BDSM event. Good one for beginners as well as experienced players. First Friday of every month. And a guy came in with his mistress and he had a very big play bag, as we all do, don't we? Very big play bag. So didn't really look twice at it because everybody has big play bags. And his mistress is also his wife. But when they were in the club, they didn't really use that dynamic. It was just mistress and submissive. Anyway, they went in, didn't even bat an eyelid. And I went to do my little walk around about 11 o'clock, making sure everybody was okay, behaving themselves and stuff. Went into the lounge. And I swear to God, Nance, I stopped dead in my tracks. Not an awful lot. Makes me stand still and go like that. At first, I didn't know who it was, and then I realised who it was because his mistress was standing, sitting next to him. And his mistress is there with, like, you know, a glass of wine, chatting away, and he's standing next to her. So there's, like, the table there. She's got people all around, darkish in the lounge, as you know, and he's just standing there like that. She's not even paying him any attention whatsoever. So this guy is in a full brown Zentai-style bodysuit. With quite an impressive erection going on. A bit more than a semi, yeah? And on his head, he had a lampshade. And in the lampshade, you could see his hand like that. And he had a torch in the lampshade. So he was being a lampshade. And she wasn't paying him any attention whatsoever. So I came over and I was trying not to pay him any attention as well, because obviously that was the point. And I said, so, mistress, I said, you've brought your own lighting tonight. And she said, yeah. And she said, and if you do this, and she went like that, and squoze his cock, the light goes out. And she went like that, squoze his cock. He went, dink. And turned the lights out. And then she went, squoze his cock again, dink. Light went back on again. Well, I thought that was bloody brilliant. So I was like, going on, off, on, off. And his willy got bigger.
And the light got brighter.
And the light got brighter, yeah. Anyway, so I just said that this is ingenious, mistress. So she said, remembering that this is her husband in real life. So she said, well, to be honest with you, Lady C, I was sick and tired of his bright ideas. So I decided to make him my bright idea.
I so love that.
She made her husband into a lamp for the whole night. He stood as a lamp.
Oh.
So when he was leaving, I was like, so how was it for you? And he said, I'll be keeping my bright ideas to myself going forward.
Do you know what? I think I'd love that though.
What, just being the lamp?
No one's fucking speaking to you. I'm a people watcher, so just to get into, like, stand and observe and listen to people's conversations while no one's actually wanting to speak to you, be boss.
I think I'd have to have, like, a little drawstring thing though, because it'd get a bit sore, your hand being up your arm like that the whole, because he was like that the whole time. I'd have to have a little pull cord.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I thought it was really good. They're like squeezing his knob to turn the lamp on. He was having a great time.
They actually
really
sell
was.
Lamps like that in Chester. I've seen them the other day. What? They look like Edith, like a full mannequin with just a lampshade on the head.
And you have to like flick a bean to turn the light on?
You do not, but...
Oh, that's a shame. I think they've missed a trick there, personally.
We could probably upgrade it. Jing jong.
You could get like a BDSM version. So, you know, a guy with his nutsack out, flick his nuts to turn it on.
Press the butt plug.
And then you can get a lesbian version with a female and like lick a bean to get the light on. I did just do that then, didn't I? Did you see that, Dylan? Sorry.
It's fine.
Sorry. Anyway.
It's fine.
So I think we've actually sort of finished a little bit on time, maybe like just a couple of minutes late. And we haven't got the screaming goat still. I just can't find it, you know. I'm determined to find this fucker. If somebody hasn't robbed it, they wouldn't have robbed me screaming goat.
No. So in unless the meantime, it's just fallen out in the street.
Oh.
Leaving here.
Oh, if somebody hasn't run over it.
It's probably in the tent with the fella.
Right. So we're going to go. If you're binge watching, put the kettle on. We'll see you in five.
Love you, bye.
We'll see you next week. And there we have it. Another day made better by listening to the Curators of Chaos. Thanks for dropping by. And if you enjoyed the show, we'd really appreciate you sharing your love for the Pad the Cell podcast with your friends. Don't forget, give us a follow on our socials. Maybe leave us some five-star reviews. And feel free to send us an email to medic@thepadthecellpodcast. Or even interact with us on Facebook, Insta and our other socials. Because we love chatting to you. Be sure to stop by next week because, as Bowie says, I don't know where I'm going next, but I promise it won't be boring. Catch you soon.